Libby Purvis, Yachting Monthly, July 09. A club we belong to likes to send out early in the year an email asking for the cruising intentions of members. The temptation is always to be a bit too honest and reply with such sentences as to complete all mooring manoeuvres with quiet dignity at this time, or not to have any flaming rows about the spinnaker, or just to remain as married at the end of the cruise as we were at the beginning. Or perhaps it might be to remain afloat and avoid as many harbour dues as possible. You see, the road to chaos is obviously paved with cruising intentions. But of course what they really mean is, where do you think you're going? Which is another of those vast philosophical imponderables. And this year our cruising intentions discussions have been even more fraught than usual, since the window of time we have is shorter than usual, and the boat starts from the south coast, rather than having been recklessly laid up in some field outside Ballydehob or a frozen inlet in Halifax, as has been known in previous years. Basically, the question is whether to go south and look for sunny beaches, hunky Frenchmen playing the accordion in converted chalutiers and homards à l'armoricaine, or whether to make for Wales and Scotland like trendy patriotic staycationers, or to go west to Ireland again. The southern option was winning for a time until we remembered two problems: the grandes vacances, which coincide with our time off, and the heroic stature of the euro. The euro misery, of course, also applies in Ireland. But on the other hand, there's considerably less frivolous fiscal temptation once you get round the mizzen. Tramping a mile in the rain to Sneem Village souvenir and tweed shops is less enticing than strolling into Benaday with a credit card or taking the tripper boat to load up with Quimper pottery. The grandes vacances, on the other hand, remain a grave deterrent to August cruising in France. Bad memories rise from the swamp of past high summer cruises, overstuffed and overpriced marinas, anchorages infested with wildly swinging idiots in charter boats using light warps instead of chain and not caring a rap about scraping their hired topsides along your precious boat, huge sunflower raft-ups with a lot of shrugging and swearing at dawn, crammed creperies, cider hangovers. No. But Ireland, ah, oh, Ireland always calls. All through the working year it takes only a few notes from a penny whistle busker in the London Underground, or a gentle West Cork accent in the Ryanair queue at Stansted, and the twitch upon the old thread becomes irresistible. We go by land sometimes, but sailing your own boat on that wild coast is an addiction hard to shake off. Once you have crept up on Bolas Head in the mist, hung off Great Skellig in a cloud of gannets, or rounded the mizzen in dolphin company with the Granuaile suite playing loudly on the cabin CD and the sun glittering under scudding clouds, you always want that moment again. And like any addict, you're prepared to put up with no end of humiliation, disappointment, expense and diminishing returns, because face it, Irish weather comes raw off the Atlantic and can be many degrees beyond vile. Oh yes, it can. You can spend 2 weeks of westerly gales hoping for a chance to get out of some wicked inlet which tempted you in on the spinnaker day. You can sit beneath a grey Tupperware sky in chilly dampness for days on end, wondering why you were even born. You can become so wet rowing 30 metres to the shore in Derrynane that you might as well have swum for it. You can live in full oilskins for an entire cruise in Ireland until the smell of your clothes becomes so unbearable that you're embarrassed even to throw them into the harbour skip, if there even is a harbour skip. And then the sun comes out and you're in the cockpit, looking out at the nearest landscape to paradise that Earth holds. Distant blue mountains, a symphony of grass and granite and cottages and sheep, all washed clean to a sparkle by the great rains. The lane winds up to a pub from which floats music erratic and live, carried on the perfumed honeysuckle breeze, and you are the only boat in the anchorage, except perhaps an old Galway hooker aboard which someone is lovingly playing the Queen of Connemara on the whistle. Oh, she's neat, oh, she's sweet, she's a beauty in every line. So you're back in your Irish opium-eater days again. It is obviously the last day of your cruise now, so you have to flog back to the UK, but Ireland has got its rocky claws in you, and you're doomed.